السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. السلام
طيب،
عليكم.
نعم، how are you؟
الحمد لله.
Can we proceed with the class؟
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah. In the last class we were on Babun al-Mustasharu Mu'taman, the chapter that tells us that al-Mustashar, whoever is asked for advice, whoever people need to receive advice, Mu'taman, he has been placed in a position of trust when somebody seeks your advice regarding a matter. He has placed his trust on you. So it behooves the one who is asked for advice to discharge the trust that has been placed on him. So we have in that the hadith of Abu al-Haytham Al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiyallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had visited. The three of them came out and visited Abu al-Haytham radiyallahu anhum. And we all will remember the long story that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out at a time that he did not use to go out. And then the three of them, Abu Bakr and Umar and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intalaku ila manzili Abu al-Haytham. They went to the house of Abu al-Haytham, who was a man that had a lot of deep farm, a wide deep farm. And he had a lot of heads of sheep. But this man did not have a servant. He had a family. He had a large farm. He had a large livestock. But he did not have a family. So when he needed to fetch water, he had to fetch the water himself, radiallahu anhu. And then when the three of them who had visited him did not find him at home, and they asked about him from his family, his wife said that he had gone to fetch water. It wasn't long at all while they waited before Abu al-Haytham al-Ansari returned with the water he had gone to fetch. And then he, happy, regarded the visit of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He held him, he embraced him, and he began to provide them fruits. A major point of lesson here, after the Prophet sat down alayhi salatu wasalam with Abu Bakr and Umar under the shade of the tree, they ate some fresh dates with some cool fresh water that Abu al-Haytham had fetched. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هذا والذي نفسي بيده من النعيم الذي تسألون عن يوم القيامة. This, and I swear by the one in whose hands is my life, من النعيم الذي تسألون عنه يوم القيامة. What you have enjoyed now, it is from the benefits, it is from the favors of Allah that you be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. Zillun baridun wa rutabun tayyibun wa ma'un baridun. Zillun baridun, a cool shade, wa rutabun tayyibun, a set of fresh dates, wa ma'un baridun, and cool water that you took. These are from the things that you ask about on the day of Qiyamah. And then the story went on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu al-Haytham, after they had partaken in the meal, he went to slaughter a small goat for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was between a range of a year in its age. And they ate, they partook in the meal. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhu. And then the Prophet asked him, Allaka khadimu, which is where our hadith in 256 started. Our hadith in 256 started from where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu al-Haytham, Allaka khadimun, do you have a servant? And he answered, he hadn't. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا أَتَانَا سَبْيٌ فَأْتِنَا, when you hear of any slave being brought to us or captive, فَأْتِنَا, then you should come to us. فَأُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِرَأْسَيْنِ لَيْسَ بَعَهُمَا ثَالِثٌ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought with two slaves, just two, لَيْسَ بَعَهُمَا ثَالِثٌ. There wasn't a third to these two. They were just two. فَأَتَاهُ أَبُو الْحَيْثَمْ. Abu al-Haytham then went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, اختر منهما, choose one of them, choose from the two of them. اختر منهما, choose from the two of them. قال يا رسول الله اختر لي. Abu al-Haytham radiallahu anhu returned the request to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, اختر لي, choose for me. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام gave that statement regarding which the entirety of this discourse is based in this class. The Prophet said صلى الله عليه وسلم, إن المستشار مؤتمن. إن المستشار مؤتمن. Certainly, whoever is asked for advice, مؤتمنون, he has been placed in the position of trust. When we ask you for advice, when we seek your counsel, when we seek your guidance, we have placed a huge trust upon you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose one of the slaves, Khuz hadha fa inni ra'aytuhu yusalli, choose this one because I saw him observing the salah. There are a lot of points of benefits in this hadith. There are a lot of points of benefits in this hadith. But what we sought after in the last class was the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُسْتَشَارِ مُؤْتَمَنِ. Al-Mustashar, the one that is asked for, Al-Mushawara. Al-Mustashar is asked for what? Al-Mushawara is done with Mustashar. Al-Mushawara, asking for advice, asking for guidance, asking for an opinion, asking for consulting the person. This is what is referred to as what? Al-Mushawara, mutual consultation amongst the people. So we have Al-Mustashar, the one who is asked for advice. We also have Al-Mushawiru, the person who is asking for advice. Similarly, we have Al-Mashura. So we have Al-Mushawiru, the person who is asking for advice, who is consulting. We have Al-Mustashar, the person that is being consulted. Al-Mushawiru, the person who is consulting. Al-Mustashar, the one who is being asked for that consultation. And then we have Al-Mashura, what comes out of it. Al-Mashura, the discourse today, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has listed, he said, Babul Mashura, the chapter about that consultation, that advice that you have. When Al-Mushawiru asks for thee. He does mushawara with al-mustashar. What comes out of it is what? Al-mashura. So we have al-mushawiru, the person asking for advice. He does al-mushawara, he does consultation. With who? With al-mustashar, the one who is being asked for an advice. And what do they come out with? They come out with what? Al-mashura. They come out with the consultation itself, the advice itself. They come out with that original advice that al-mushawiru had asked from al-mustashar, who is mentioned in this first hadith to be mu'tamad. So the first discussion we had in the last class was about al-mustashar. The discussion we'll be having today, bi'idhnillah, is regarding al-mashura, the advice itself. That advice itself, some amongst the scholars refer to it as what? Al-mashwara. Al-mashura can also be referred to as what? Al-mashwara. So instead of the sheen having the dhamma so that it becomes mashura, that sheen can have a sukun. So it becomes what? Mashwara. So al-mashwara has the meaning of what? Al-mashura. That is, the result of al-mushawara is referred to as what? Al-mashwara, or what? Al-mashura. Who seeks it? Al-mushawiru. Who is being sought? Who, from whom is the advice being sought? Al-mustashar. And the entire consultation is referred to as what? Al-mushawara. This bab today we shall be reading is about al-mashura, the importance of that consultation, the virtue of that consultation. What do you gain when you make consultation? These are the issues that we'll be addressing in the chapter today, Babul Mashura, the chapter about that advice itself, that guidance itself. It is referred to as what? Al-Mashura, or what? Al-Mashwara. So these are the two words that are employed regarding that. Now, before we go into that chapter, one of those who has discussed al-mashura or al-mashwara in details was al-imam Abu al-Hasan rahimahullah al-Mawardi. Abu al-Hasan al-Mawardi rahimahullah is a 4th century scholar of Islam. He passed away 450 years after Hijrah. He has a book that the scholars who pay a lot of attention to the issues of manners and lines of honorable lines of conduct. They always refer the students to study, and that book is called Adabuddin wa Dunya. Adabuddin wa Dunya, the manners in the religion and the manners that the individual requires in the day-to-day affairs of life. The manners that the individual requires in his deen, and the manners that he requires in his day-to-day affairs. So he titled his work as Adabuddin wa Dunya, the manners regarding the matters of the deen and the manners regarding day-to-day affairs of life. One of the issues that he has discussed at length is al-mashura. He discussed it in over 20 pages, citing evidences, ahadith, many of them weak, some of them authentic, citing statements from the companions, citing statements from the Tabi'un and the Atba'ut Tabi'in, from the Shi'r and Adab of literature of the Arabs regarding the issues of al-mashura and al-mushawara consultation. There is an issue that he has raised, and I think that it will be beneficial for us, bi'iznillah, to refer to them before we go into the chapter Babul Mashura today, the chapter about that consultation itself. Before we go into this, Abu al-Hasan al-Mawardi had mentioned some points of benefits about khisalu man yustashar, the traits of the person from whom you want to seek advice. If we say al-mustasharu mu'tamad, the one who is asked for advice, he has been placed in the position of trust. Who is that person that you should place in that position? What are the traits you should find in a person? He mentioned five traits. When you find those five traits in the person, that is the kind of person you should ask for advice. That is the kind of person you should ask for guidelines and guidance. If the person does not have these five things, don't ask him. You would have placed your trust in the wrong place. And this would be something that is common in our own times now. Placing a trust in the wrong place. You trust the wrong person. So who is to be blamed? You chose the wrong person to get your advice from. And then you begin to say to him that Al-Mustasharu Mu'taman, the one who is asked for advice, Mu'taman, he is placed in the position of trust. Who is that person who deserves to be placed in this position of trust? Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Mawardi in Adabuddin wa Dunya, he has mentioned five things you should find in a person before you place him in that position of consultation and asking him for guidance. The first one, Aklun Kamilun Ma'a Tajribatin Salifatin. Aklun Kamilun Ma'a Tajribatin Salifa. He says, Aklun Kamilun, the one from whom you want to seek advice, he should have Aklun Kamilun, sound intellect. It should be an intelligent person, meaning don't ask advice from a person who is not an intelligent person. Don't ask advice from a person. How do you ask advice from a person, sorry to say, who is stupid? He is not an intelligent person. You ask someone who is not intelligent at all. He does not have a sound mind. You are asking him for advice. And then you say, Al-Mustasharu Mu'taman. The one who is asked for advice is placed in the position of trust. You have wrongly placed your trust in the wrong place. You have placed your trust in the very, very wrong place. So the first thing the man should have, or the woman should have, before you seek advice from him or her, is Aklun Kamilun Ma'a Tajribatin Salifa. Aklun Kamilun, sound, perfect mind, perfect intelligence, Ma'a Tajribatin Salifa, with some sort of past experience. He should be intelligent and he should be experienced. One of the early scholars said that kullu shay'in yahtaj ila aql. Everything needs that the person is intelligent. Wal aqlu yahtaju ila tajriba. Yahtaju ila tajarrubi. And the intellect itself needs experience. So find the person who is an intelligent person. Ma'a tajribatin salifa. He has intelligence and then he has some past experience. He is experienced about what you want to ask about. And that's why in the further explanation to this point in Adabuddin wa Dunya by Abu al-Hasan al-Mawardi, he said, if you ask a young boy, someone who is young, he is young. The young person lacks tajriba. If you seek, for example, someone wants to marry, he is asking a young boy at 18, 19, who doesn't know anything about marriage. He wants to seek advice about marriage from an 18-year-old boy. Yes, the 18-year-old boy may have aklun kamilun. He may have a sound mind. He might be very, very intelligent. Lacking la tajribata lahu. He does not have a past experience. He does not have experience. So whoever you want to ask, you want to make him your mustashar, let him have aklun kamilun ma'a tajribatin salifa. Let him have a sound mind and good experience. The second thing Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Mawardi rahimahullah has mentioned from the things you must find in a person before you begin to ask him for advice, is that أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَا دِينٍ وَتُقَى. أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَا دِينٍ وَتُقَى. The person you must ask for advice, he must be a person of deen. He must have deen. He must be a person who fears Allah. He practices his deen correctly. He observes his salah correctly. his aqidah, his sound, is not upon a deviation in his deen. He is not upon heresies in his deen. He is upon the sunnah, and then he fears Allah. أَيَّكُونَ ذَا دِينٍ وَتُقَى. Let him be a person of deen, watuqa, and conscious fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because his deen and his fear of Allah with a sound mind and good experience will be a thing of benefit for you in the advice that you seek. Then he will recognize truly that al-mustasharu mu'taman. Yes, the one who is asked for advice, he has been placed in the position of trust. If he is a person who does not care about violating your trust and destroying your trust, it does not matter to him that you say to him that al-mustasharu mu'taman. It does not matter to him. What will make violating trust to be a thing of importance and significance to him is what is deen and taqwa. So the second thing you must look for in a person from whom you want to seek advice is that أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَا دِينٍ وَتُقَى. Let him be a person of deen and a person of conscious fear of Allah. Look at the person that Abu al-Haytham was asking for advice. That was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So you see the first and the second conditions in the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Aqlun kamilun ma'a tajribatin salifa. Sound intellect with good experience, good past experience. The second point is deen and taqwa. He must be a person of deen. He must be a person of conscious fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing you must find in a person before you seek advice from him is that أَنْ يَكُونَ نَاصِحًا وَدُودًا. أَنْ يَكُونَ نَاصِحًا وَدُودًا. The person from whom you must seek advice, or you can seek advice from, is the one who is نَاصِحٌ. He likes you. He likes good for others. The nasih is the one who likes good for others. A person who likes goodness for others. There are people, they don't like goodness for others. So don't seek an advice. Don't make al-mushawara regarding a matter with a person who is already defeating you. He's already jealous of you. How do you go back to him to seek advice from him? Unfortunately, those who beef you and jealous you, when the beefing and the jealousy is so strong, they like you to come and seek advice from them so that they can mislead you. Don't try. Don't seek advice from someone who is already jealous of you. And then you begin to say to him that al-mustasharu mu'taman, you yourself, you have placed your amana in the wrong place. Don't seek advice from a person who is jealous of you. Don't seek advice from a person who is jealous of you. Seek advice from Nasihun Wadud. The Wadud is the one who really loves you. He truly loves you. Nasih, he wants good for you. Wadud, then he loves you. He likes you. He loves good for you. And then he likes you as an individual. This kind of a person, if you meet him and ask him for advice, bismillah, you are very likely going to get very good advice from him. Or if it's a person who is already beefing you, is already angry with you, he feels uncomfortable when he sees you. When something good happens to you, he feels bad. When something bad happens to you, he is happy behind. This kind of a person does not have what it takes to place the trust of advice in his hands. Don't forget, the first point is that this person must have aqlun kamilun ma'a tajribatin salifa. The second point, an yakuna zahinin wa tuqa. The third point, an yakuna nasihan wa duda. Nasihun is the person who likes goodness for you. He wants you to be good. When something good happens to you, he is happy. When something bad happens to you, he is sad with you. Look for that person. That is the one from whom you should seek an advice. Then he is wadud. He likes you. is loving. The fourth thing you must find in a person before you place the trust of seeking advice in his hands is that أن يكون سليم الفكر من هم قاطع وغم شاغل. أن يكون سليم الفكر. Let him be a person who is free in his thoughts. In his thoughts, the person is free from what? Min hammin qati'in. He is free from the grief that cuts off a person from deep thinking. When a person is cut off from deep thinking, he cannot think deeply. Why? He is mahmoom. He is grieved. He is grieving. This man is grieving. Maybe his wife just passed away. So you came to him, you say you want to seek advice. What kind of advice will he get? Because at that time, the man is grieving. He is grieving. His thoughts are lost in the loss of his wife. So that's why the person must be salimul fikari min hammin qati'in. He must be a person who is free in his thoughts from a grief that cuts him off the ability to think deep. Grief, when someone grieves, sadness has encapsulated the man. And then you go to him thinking that you want to seek advice. And then you are saying to him, Al-Mustashar Mu'taman. He's not that person you should make a mustashar. Why? لأنه غير سليم الفكر. He is not a person who is free in his thoughts. He's not sound in his thinking. He may have aklun kamil. Ordinarily, he may be a very sound and intelligent person. But at that time that you are asking that advice from him, he is cut off from deep thinking by his grief. Wagamin shagilin. He's also cut off from ability to think by gamun shagilun, a concern that gets him busy. The man is so concerned. The man is so concerned. Maybe he's hungry. He's been hungry, finding food for himself, finding food for his family. And then he's so busy about how do I loan him money? How do I run after this? He's busy in this. Busy with this gum. And then you go to him and say, Al-Mustasharu Mu'taman. You have placed your amana in the wrong place. The fourth point is, An yakuna salim al-fikr. The person from whom you want to seek advice. Yakunu salim al-fikr. He should be, he is a person who is salim al-fikr. Min hammin qati'in. He is free in his thinking, in his thoughts from Hammun Qati'un. He is free from a grief that cuts him off deep thinking. Wagammin Shaghilin. He is also free from a concern that preoccupies his mind. He is preoccupied with concerns. He is cut off from deep thinking with sadness and grief. Don't go and seek advice from him. Why? Even though he has akul, even though he has deen, even though he loves you, and he is not in any way jealous of the favors of Allah on you, his sadness, his grief, his getting busy over his concerns will not make him have a deep thought regarding the advice that you are seeking from him. The fifth thing we should look for in the individual from whom you want to seek advice. The ulama say, Allah yakuna lahu fil amri al-mustashari gardun yutabi'uhu wala hawan yusa'iduhu. Allah yakuna lahu fil amri al-mustashari gardun yutabi'uhu. That person you are seeking advice from, Allah yakuna lahu fil amri al-mustashar. The affair about which you are asking him for, he should not have gardun yutabi'uhu. He should not have a goal he himself is seeking regarding that affair. I give you an example. A man wants to marry a woman. He is seeking after marrying a sister. You now go to him asking him whether you should marry that sister or not. You are not likely to get a good answer. Why? He has a guard, yutabi'uhu. He himself, he has a guard. He has an objective, a goal. He has a crave in the matter that he is pursuing. So he wants something. He is pursuing the matter. More so if it's a crave that he can achieve. Sometimes the fact that a person cannot achieve a crave makes him think and look the other way regarding the matter. So when you ask advice from him, you get a good advice. But a person, he already has an opinion. He already is, he has a stake regarding the matter about which you are asking him. Wala hawan yusa'idu. He also has a personal desire that he wants to help. He wants to support his own hawa regarding the matter. If you seek advice from him regarding that affair, you are not likely to get a good advice regarding that affair. Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Mawardi in Adabuddin wa Dunya, he said, إِذَا اسْتَكْمَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْخِصَالُ الْخَمْسُ فِي رَجُلٍ كَانَ أَهْلًا لِلْمَشْوَرَةِ أَوْ كَانَ أَهْلًا لِلْمَشْوَرَةِ. If these five things, إِذَا اسْتَكْمَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْخِصَالُ الْخَمْسُ, if these five things are found in an individual, كَانَ أَهْلًا, that individual, أَهْلًا لِلْمَشْوَرَةِ, that is the person that deserves that you go and ask advice from. Look at the kind of person that Abu al-Haytham was asking advice from. He was asking from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We know how sound the Prophet was and is alayhi salatu wa sallam in his intelligence. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ma'a tajribatin salifa. And he has good experience about making choices. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't ask about the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his righteousness. He told us alayhi salatu wa sallam, ana khayrukum wa atqakum. I am the best of you. I am the most God-fearing amongst you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nasihun. When in the end of Surah Tawbah, Allah told us about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he becomes discomforted with the same things that bring discomfort to us. When we are not feeling comfortable, he's not feeling comfortable. He is not happy that something we do not like happens to us. And you would find that even in the story of Abu al-Haytham. Abu al-Haytham was a man with a lot of farm. He had a lot of animal heads. Yet he did not have a servant who could help him. The Prophet was telling him, alayhi salatu wasalam, you need a servant. This is a symbol of a person who wants good for the other person. And so he's in the position of the one who is al-mustashar. But for the one who does not want good for you, he is not nafih. He is hasid instead. He's jealous of you. The good things of favor that Allah has bestowed upon you, they make him angry. If you say you want to seek advice from such a person, you are making a very big mistake. Even though you recite in his ears that al-mustasharu mu'taman 100 times, you yourself had placed your amana in the very wrong place. The fourth point again, an yakuna salim al-fikari min hammin qati'in. The person you are asking for advice, it should be a person who is free from hammun qati'un. A grief that cuts off an individual from deep thinking. وَغَمِّنْ شَغِلٍ. He should also be free from concerns that preoccupies his mind and makes him become unable to think deeply. The fifth thing you must seek for in a person who has the ahaliya, who is in the position for you to ask advice from, is that أن لا يكون له في الأمر المستشار قرد يتابعه. He should not have a crave, a goal, an objective in that same manner about which you are asking for his advice. Wala hawan yusa'iduhu. He should not have a hawa, a personal desire, a personal crave or lust after something. And he is seeking with his advice, he is only seeking support for that hawa, for his own personal proclivities. We should be careful about asking for advice from such persons. When we find all of these in a person, then it is correct to now begin to say, Al-Mustasharu Mu'taman, the one who is asked for advice, you have placed amana in his hands, because you have placed amana in the hands of someone who recognizes as amana, who also has the ability to discharge that amana, because his mind is sound, his seen is sound, is loving, he is not preoccupied in his thoughts, and he has no ulterior motive in his advice that he'll be giving to you. Bismillah, we quickly go to Al-Mashura. Don't forget, we have Al-Mustashar, the person from whom the advice is being sought. We have Al-Mushawiru. Al-Mushawiru, that is the person that is seeking advice. Al-Mushawara is entire consultation. Al-Mashura is that advice itself that comes out after you seek guidance and opinion from the rest of the other people. The hadith we'll be reading today is Hadith 257. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he mentions that hadith. It is from Hadith of Sadaqah. He says, Haddathana Sadaqah, rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا صدقة قال أخبرنا ابن عيينة عن عمر ابن حبيب عن عمرو ابن دينار قال قرأ ابن عباس وشاورهم في بعض الأمر. الإمام البخاري said رحمه الله حدثنا صدقة. He is reporting this hadith from his sheikh whose name is صدقة. You can say can a person be a صدقة? Yes. Just as you say sadaqah, charity, a Muslim can bear sadaqah. Amongst those who report a hadith, over 10 of them bear that name, sadaqah, sadaqah, sadaqah. From amongst them is this Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. His name is Sadaqah ibn al-Fadl. So he is Sadaqah ibn al-Fadl, Abu al-Fadl, Sadaqah. His name is Sadaqah ibn al-Fadl, Abu al-Fadl. There were others amongst even the Tabi'un whose names were Sadaqah. We had Sadaqah ibn Bashir, Sadaqah ibn Sa'id al-Kufi, Sadaqah ibn Abdullah al-Dimashqi, Sadaqah ibn Khalid al-Umawi. So it's a name that the Muslims have been bearing since the history of Islam. Someone can give a child the name Sadaqah, and here you find Sadaqah is a male. So you can give the male that name, Sadaqah. So someone asks you, why did you name your child Sadaqah? He said, the early Muslims used to give themselves that name, Sadaqah. One of those who has that name, Sadaqah, is the Sheikh of Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. His name is Sadaqah ibn al-Fadl, Abu al-Fadl. So Sadaqah is reporting from Ibn Uyayna, Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. We had come across him a number of times in the ahadith that we had read in this book. And he is reporting from the Sheikh Umar ibn Habib. Umar ibn Habib al-Makki. Sadaqah reported from Al-Imam ibn Uyayna. And Al-Imam ibn Uyayna reports from Umar ibn Habib. Umar ibn Habib was a judge in Mecca. He is Umar ibn Habib al-Qadi. And he is reporting from Amr ibn Dinar. Amr ibn Dinar was an eminent tabi'i, a well-known student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu. So Amr ibn Dinar said that Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, read and said, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَمْرِ. He said, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَمْرِ, when he read that verse in the Quran. That verse occurs in Surah 2, Ali Imran. I think that's verse 159, where Allah said, فَبِمَا رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he explained that verse, that portion where Allah says وَشَاوِرْهُ فِي الْأَمْرِ, Abdullah ibn Abbas explained it and said وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَمْرِ, seek their advice فِي بَعْضِ الْأَمْرِ, regarding some matters. Seek their advice, شَاوِرْهُ, ask for their opinion, في بعض الأمر, regarding some affairs. The ulama say this means that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded in the Quran, وشاوره, ask for the opinion of your companions, في الأمر, regarding the affairs, it is not about every affair, it is about some affairs. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was asked to ask the companions about some affairs. There were some affairs that were already decided by Allah through revelation. For example, Aqim al-Salah, how the Salah is observed. You start asking the people, oh, should we observe Salatul Zuhur in 4 rak'ats? Or we should observe Salatul Asr in 4 rak'ats? No, this is not a matter for al-Mushawara. It is not a matter regarding which you want to ask the people for advice. Why? It is a matter that has been determined in the deen. It's a matter that has been determined in the deen. But like Abdullah ibn Abbas explained, radiallahu anhu, he says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَمْرِ, ask for their advice regarding some affairs. It means there are some affairs we ask advice about, and there are some affairs we don't ask advice about. We don't have to start asking an advice about the number of units of salah. You don't have to start asking an advice about the obligation of fasting. You don't start asking an advice about the obligation of paying zakah. These are matters that are determined by revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The matters regarding which you ask advice from are some of the affairs of the people. The messenger, for example, alayhi salatu wasalam, maybe he wants to go to a war with a group of people coming to attack him, or he wants to go to extend a military campaign in a place. You can ask, he will ask the people, how do we proceed on this military campaign? Like he asked during the Ghazwatul Khandaq, the battle of the trench. When he asks advice, how do we face these people, the confederates, Al-Ahzab, coming to attack us in Medina? And he got an advice. So Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying that now, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, we will see that this chapter is talking about the advice itself. The last chapter, it talked about the person to ask an advice from. This chapter is talking about the advice itself. So it starts from, what is it that you should take an advice from people about? What is that affair? What kind of affair? See, those affairs that the Sharia has not been definite about, they have not been clear-cut about. You have a choice about them. You want to marry a woman, one or two. These are two women. You want to make a choice between any one of the two. Now, seek advice. You want to make a journey tomorrow or next tomorrow, seek advice. You want to separate from a woman regarding a trouble that you had had with her, seek advice. You want to ask for a man for separation regarding a trouble you had faced from him, seek advice. Because these are matters that regarding which the choice of the individual is established. But in the matters that are clear-cut, defined and established in the Sharia, they are not the matters to seek advice about. So don't say you want to seek advice, whether it is lawful, whether someone can do zina or not. You can't seek an advice about something that is clearly unlawful. You can't seek advice about someone wants to give you gish. He wants to give you a money in deception. He wants to give you rishwa. And the ritual bribery is you take some money so that you legitimize what is basically unlawful. Something is unlawful. So they say, take this money to make it become lawful. So you want to seek advice whether you should take that money or not. There's a clear-cut prohibition. You can seek advice about how to go about it. But about actually rejecting such evil offers, there is no issue about asking advice. I hope that this matter is clear. We are talking about what kind of advice should you seek from Mustashar. We had discussed who the Mustashar is, and we had given a sermon to the Mustashar. The Mustashar, the person from whom we are asking for an advice, the person we are consulting, he should understand that that consultation is an amana in his hands. So what kind of character, what kind of traits should we find in him before we even place him in that place of authority in the first place? We had discussed that. Now the second issue is that, what kind of issues should we ask advice about? So Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he explained that verse in the Quran, when in Surah Ali Imran, Allah commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, ask the people about all affairs. That is what we may understand from that verse. But Abdullah ibn Abbas is explaining that what that verse means is that it is not about every affair you ask advice about. There are some affairs that are clear-cut, defined in regulation. We must follow regulation regarding them. Zina is haram. You don't say you want to seek advice whether to go do zina or not. A man is in friendship unlawfully with a woman, or a man, a young boy, he wants to seek advice whether to pick from girl A or girl B. This is unlawful. You have to move away from this because Allah has prohibited it. I hope that these matters are clear. So issues that are clearly prohibited or issues that are clearly obligated on us. Someone says, for example, he wants to seek advice whether he should make 2 units of Salatul Fajr or 4 units of Salatul Fajr. You can't say you want to seek advice with this kind of a matter. Why? It is clearly determined by revelation. Someone says he wants to seek advice whether to make Maulid Nabi or not. Don't seek advice about Maulid Nabi. Why? It is clearly an innovated matter. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had clearly said to us that man amila amalan, anyone who does any deed at all, laysa alayhi amruna, that we had not given a previous command or authority for. We had not previously legislated that action. He wants to do it, seeking the face of Allah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, laysa alayhi amruna, for who are unto that thing that we have sought nearness for Allah with. It will be rejected. It will not be accepted. So don't seek advice regarding clear-cut matters in the religion. You can seek advice about how to go about, but don't seek advice about should I do it at all or should I not do it at all. This is what Abdullah ibn Abbas seeks to make us understand in this matter, that there are some issues that are clear-cut in the deen. We don't seek advice regarding them. You can seek advice about how to go about them, how to achieve them, but they still remain affairs that in themselves they should be achieved in the way that the Sharia has stipulated them. I hope that this matter is clear. فَقَرَعَ ibn Abbas. So the kira'a of Ibn Abbas here is fassara. He explained that verse in Surah to Ali Imran, that وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to ask for the people's opinions. He should ask for the people's suggestions regarding his affairs. That is talking about the affairs that are not clear-cut defined, that regarding which he did not get guidance. For example, when our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was accused of evil, the Prophet was asking for the opinions of the people. He asked for the opinion of Ali ibn Abi Talib, because at that time there was no revelation regarding the matter. He asked for the opinion of Usama ibn Zayd. He came into the masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, this is what I have heard. Whoever has anything to say to me should say it. So he was openly asking for advice. Why? There was no revelation regarding the matter. But when revelation came, it became known that this is the way to go. So when there's a revelation regarding the matter, we go in that way. But when there's no revelation regarding that matter, then we can begin to seek advice about how do we bring about those affairs to completion. I hope that this asar of Abdullah ibn Abbas is clear to us, inshallah. That Qara'a ibn Abbas wa shawirhum fi ba'd al-amr. That Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he reads wa shawirhum fi al-amr, that verse in Ali Imran, verse 159, he will explain it to say that, oh, don't forget, it is not regarding every affair. Why? Because there are some of the affairs that are clear-cut, defined, and established by revelation, regarding which you would not go about starting to ask whether you should do them or not. Someone can say, I want to seek advice. Should I perform Salatul Fajr or not? No. And then when he's asked, why are you asking for advice whether to perform Salatul Fajr or not? He says, Allah commanded us in the Quran, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, that we should make al-mushawara regarding affairs. So I'm making this mushawara. No. Making mushawara does not come in the affairs that are clear-cut, defined, and established in revelation. I hope that this matter is clear, inshallah. The next hadith is hadith 258. And in it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, I think we still have a short time to quickly consider this hadith so that we can go to the next chapter in the next class. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حَدَّثَنَا آدَمَ إِبْنَ أَبِي إِيَّاسِ رَحِمَهُ. الإمام البخاري said, حدثنا آدم ابن أبي إياس قال حدثنا حماد بن زيد عن السري عن الحسن قال والله ما استشار قوم قط إلا عود الأفضل ما بحضرته ثم تلا وأمرهم شورى بينهم. الإمام البخاري has again reported this hadith from his Shaykh Adam ibn Abi Iyas. We had read a number of hadith from Adam ibn Abi Iyas. Hadith 256 was from Adam ibn Abi Iyas, rahimahullah, the teacher of al-Imam al-Bukhari. And here again we have Adam ibn Abi Iyas in hadith 258. It has been reported from Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported it from his Shaykh Adam ibn Abi Iyas, Abu al-Hasan al-Asqalani, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Hamad ibn Zayd ibn Dirham, rahimahullah. And he is reporting from the eminent student of the Tabi'un al-Sarri. He is al-Sarri ibn Yahya ibn Iyas, Abu al-Haysam, al-Sarri. That's how the name is pronounced. Al-Sarri. He is Al-Sarri ibn Yahya ibn Iyas. Abu al-Haytham is a well-known scholar from amongst the students of the Tabi'un. Here he is reporting from his Shaykh Al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri. Rahimahullah. Hasan al-Basri was born inside the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was reported that his mother was from amongst the female slaves of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah. So he's well known amongst the scholars. There's a report in Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad that he had met about 70 companions of the Prophet Muhammad, Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah. So he is a well-known tabi'i. Rahimahullah, he said, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, mastashara qawmun qattu illa hudu li afdali ma bihadratihim. Mastashara qawmun qattu. A people would not ever seek advice. They would not ever consult themselves. Illa hudu li afdali ma bihadratihim. Except that they are guided li afdali ma bihadrati, except that they get guided to the best of what they have before them. You have affairs 1, 2, 3, 4 before you to take a decision. So he said, rahimahullah, mastashara qawmun qatl. A people would not ever seek advice. Make it a matter about which you seek advice amongst yourself. If you seek advice amongst yourself, Uditum li afdali ma bihadratikum. You will be guided to the best of the options that you have. If you seek advice, you'll be guided to the best of options. Because you, the options you have are just restricted to you. Maybe you have two ways you think the matter could be approached. A person you have asked who has all those features of a person who should be asked for advice, he may have another two opinions, different from the two that you had thought are the means by which the matter could be approached. You have two, he may have two. You have three, he may have one, better than your three. So he says, Rahimahullah, Mastashara Qawmun Qattu, I swear by Allah, a people do not seek advice regarding a matter. Illa hudu li afdali ma bi hazrati, except that they become guided to the best of the options that they have. Summa tala. Then Hassan al-Basri read the verse where Allah praised the Muslims and said, wa amruhum shura bayna. The affairs of the Muslims determine the affairs amongst themselves. How? Shura. By mutual consultation. When you consult mutually. This was a praise, it was a statement of praise for the Muslims that Allah mentioned in the Quran. Wa amruhum shura bayna. That occurs in Surah Shura itself. The verse about mutual consultation. When Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. Allah described those, اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. They answered the call of their Lord. They were invited to Tawheed by the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and they answered, they accepted Iman. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ. They establish the prayer, they observe the salah at its time. They observe the salah as it's appropriate. Wa amruhum shura baynahum. From the affairs of these people is that their affairs are decided upon consultation. If a man marries a wife and he consults his wife regularly, you see they usually have a very good result. When a man becomes cut off from his wife, that's when there's a problem. Or when the wife becomes cut off from the man, that's why there's a problem. When a man is always able to consult his wife, when the woman is always able to consult her husband, you see that family will move straight. Even if the man has two wives, when they are able to mutually consult themselves and agree amongst themselves about the way forward in the home, then there is a lot of success. That's why Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri is saying, he said, Rahimahullah, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, Mastashara Qawmun Qattu Illa Hudu Li Afdali Ma Bi Hadrati. A people would not make his mushawara. A people would not seek consultation amongst themselves. Illa Hudu Li Afdali Ma Bi Hadrati. Except that they are guided to the best of the options that they have. And then he says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah had praised the Muslims upon the fact that they are a people who usually mutually consult themselves. And that's why Arabs have, like we said, if you come back to Adabuddin wa Dunya by Abu al-Hasan al-Mawardi, a 4th century scholar of Islam, he has a lot of statements that the Arabs are used to say regarding al-mushawara, consultation. From that is that they will say, ma nadima man istashara. Ma nadima man istashara. The one who seeks advice never regrets. Man istashara. Who goes, the person who usually he seeks advice in his affairs. Ma nadima. He will not regret. And Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, in Zadul Masir. I think we should check this off in the tafsir, Zadul Masir by Abu al-Faraj. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, Ibn Ali Ibn al-Jawzi, when he explained wa amruhum shura baynahum, when he explained that verse wa shawirhum fil amr, the first verse in Al-Imran 159 that we read, he mentioned two major benefits of making mushawara, and he said one of those benefits is that you will not be regretting, you will know that the affair was not achieved just by Allah's preordainment. After all, you sought an opinion, you went on seeking opinion to get the best way to approach the matter. So when you make mushawara regarding a matter, it does not make you become regretful over the position that you take. It becomes clear to you that this matter did not just happen as I have thought, just the way Allah wants it. You will not feel that maybe I would have done like this, maybe I would have followed like why? Because you already did all of that before you took a position and acted upon that position. So Arabs are used to saying that Ma nadima man istasha. He does not regret. The one who seeks advice from the people, he does not regret. In fact, some of them would say that istishara al-istishara aynul hidayah. Asking for guidance, seeking consultation is the guidance itself. If you want guidance, ask for people's opinion about him. Seek for suggestions. Sit down together, ask, what do you think? What do you think? What do you feel? How do you think we should approach this matter? And don't forget, we have told us at the beginning of this class, what are those traits that you can find in a person that you should seek advice from? Because if you gather the wrong people, and you are now saying that Manadima Manistashara, the one who gathers and asks for suggestions and advice from people, he does not regret. But you have gathered the wrong people. You are asking an opinion from the wrong person. You are placing the amana of al-mushawara in the wrong place. Then the error is from you, because you had already done it in a wrong way. What to do is seek for people or persons who have those five traits that we had mentioned at the beginning of the class. Ask for advice from them. That advice you're asking from them, that is guidance in itself. So Arabs used to say that al-istishara to aynul hidayah. Asking for advice is the guidance itself. You say, Allah, guide me, seek advice. Allah, guide me to that which is best, then seek advice. The act of seeking advice itself is from the aspects of gaining the guidance of Allah regarding a matter. I think that we can stop here. Babul Mashura, the chapter about the advice itself, meaning that the advice, what kind of advice should we ask from Al-Mustashar, and how important is it for the Muslim to seek advice? We had read that the early Muslims always insist by way of following those verses in the Quran that the Muslims have the way to come about their decision, and that is by what? Mutually consulting themselves and asking, what do you think? How do you think we should go about it? What do you think we should do? By these, Allah takes them to the guided position. That's why Imam Hassan al-Basri said, Mastashara qawmun qatu illa hudu li afdali ma bihadarati. A group of people do not go about seeking advice regarding a matter, except that they are guided to the best of the options that they have. I think that we can stop here today. Bismillah. In the next class, we'll be discussing ismu man ashara ala akhihi bighayri rushdi. The sin, the iniquity, the gravity of the sin of a person who pushes his brother to a way that he knows that that is not the right way. A brother seeks an advice from you. You say, oh, go this way. And you know that that is not the way to go. May Allah protect each and every one of us. That goes back to the attributes of the person that will be seeking advice from. I hope that we can go back, bismillah, to the question and answer session. And I hope that these matters are clear. We can go back and read more about them. That's the reason why we have been citing the sources from where we find some of these benefits, so that we all can also go back and read more about these issues. May Allah make us a guided people. May Allah guide our thoughts in every situation, and make us people who will find good people to seek advice from. Because sometimes when you look at these qualities, these traits, you hardly find anybody suitable for you to take advice from. I tell you this, sometimes you need an advice regarding a matter. You look left and right, you find that the people around you are not the kind of people you should ask about them. May Allah protect us, keep us under his guidance at all times. Abu Yusuf, do we have questions we can attempt? Ameen, Abu Amr. Ameen, yeah.
Yes, so we have a couple of questions here.
Yeah.
So one during this question, they asked, said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What is the difference between the deen of a person and his taqwa?
Well, these issues are issues of generalities and specifics. When you say deen, you can intend by it to say everything including his taqwa. Everything including his taqwa is from his deen. His taqwa is from his deen. His ibadah is from his deen. Because that's the basic meaning of a taqwa is to abstain from the prohibitions of Allah and to fulfill the obligations of Allah. Being conscious that Allah is the one who has commanded you to abstain, and being conscious that Allah is the one who has commanded you to fulfill those obligations. That is the basic meaning of a taqwa. Taqwa means following the commands of Allah, keeping it in mind that this commandment has been given to you by Allah, abstaining from the prohibitions of Allah, keeping in mind that Allah is the one that has prohibited you from these issues. So you see, this is also a bit general, but more general than that is to say the deen itself, because that will involve the deen itself. It will involve the issues of the manners, adab, issues of your dealings with people generally. And one way or the other, these issues may also collapse into the issues of at-taqwa. So when you say deen, it is more encompassing than at-taqwa itself. So sometimes they give a general expression and follow it with a specific one. That inside the deen we are talking about, one of the most important things we want to refer to regarding this matter is taqwa. Why is it that taqwa is important in this matter of asking for advice? That person is conscious. He knows that Allah has commanded us to seek advice. He knows that Allah has commanded us to give good advice. He knows that Allah has prohibited giving bad advice. He knows that Allah has, like we'll read in the next hadith, prohibited that you give your brother an advice and you know that it is wrong. You know that giving an advice is an issue of trust. What will make him recognize the trust and not betray that trust is the issue of taqwa. So it's like mentioning a general affair and then mentioning something that is specific in that generality. So I hope that it is clear. The taqwa of an individual is part of his deen. The deen, that word, is more encompassing than saying taqwa. So when you say deen, yes, it involves taqwa. But by way of emphasis here, the taqwa is now mentioned again. So deen and taqwa. Deen, yes, generally he's good in his deen. But don't forget, in that deen, what are we talking about? We are talking about his taqwa. I hope that the matter is clear. Abu Amir, the deen is general. And the taqwa is like saying someone has Islam and a Muslim has Iman. If you say a Muslim has Iman, that word Islam that the Muslim has is general. But when you now say he has Iman, that's the more specific thing you are now talking about in his Islam. You can talk about the Iman of a person in his Islam. At the same time, you can be talking about Iman and you are referring to Islam. Because Islam is a general thing. It's a general thing. Part of it is Iman. So you can say Al-Islam wal-Iman. When you say Al-Islam al-Iman wal-Iman, you are talking about something general. And then when you say Iman, you are talking about something more specific in that general sense of the first word that we had mentioned. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
I mean. This one reads, how do we know who is jealous of one? We are encouraged not to be suspicious of our brothers and sisters.
I think this is an entire issue that should be discussed. How do we know who is jealous of you? Is it an issue that we can come back and discuss later? Maybe we'll mention a few things in the next class. Regarding how do you recognize when a person is jealous of you. Al-Imam Ibn Hibban in Rawdatul Uqala, he mentioned some of these issues. Bismillah, we'll come back to them. We can mention a few of them in the next class.
No, Jazakum Al Khayyam, sir.
I mean, what?
Another one here is, in mundane affairs, e.g. marketing campaign, marketing campaign, should we prioritize knowledge of the subject matter over deen? That's preference of Muslim over non-Muslim when I have both options, that's Muslim or non-Muslim. Usually a Muslim is closer to us, trustworthy, and will consider if the matter has anything to do with deen, but might not be the expert.
Well, regarding the issues of the dunya, if we have, there are so many other things to consider. You want to choose someone who will market something, or someone who has an experience about accountancy or about auditing, and who is equally trustworthy, is someone who is known for his trustworthiness. Although the ulama will say the non-Muslim are people who can betray the trust at any point in time. But if we find some of them, like the Quran also makes us understand that there are some of them who can be trustworthy. There are verses in the Quran that Allah mentions that some of them may be trustworthy. Man inta manhu bikinfarin yu'addihi ilayk. If you give him a kinfar is a large portion of gold, yu'addihi ilayk, he'll give it back to you. Allah made us understand that in the Quran. So if you find him to be knowledgeable regarding it, and he is trustworthy regarding it, then you can ask for his advice regarding it. He is knowledgeable regarding it. He is trustworthy regarding that field of study, then ask for his advice. If he is a carpenter, he is knowledgeable regarding carpentry. He is also trustworthy regarding his day-to-day affairs, and he will not cheat upon it. You can ask for his advice. In fact, the ulama have made it general when Allah said, Fas'alu ahla zikri. Ask the people of a particular branch of knowledge. They say it is general. If you know this person has this knowledge, he is vast, he has good experience, he has aklun, tamun, he also has his experience, he has tajriba regarding the matter. He may not be a Muslim. Regarding the issue, if it is an issue in the worldly affairs, or if it's an issue in the deen of an individual, then his deen and taqwa and all of other these issues will come in. I hope that the matter is clear. If the choice, if the person is in his knowledge of that art, in his experience on that art, and then he is trustworthy, is an amin in that art, he will not cheat, he will not cut corners. Then he should be given preference if he is more knowledgeable and he has more amana than the Muslim. However, if the Muslim too can do the job well to acceptable limits, and the proceeds they will earn from that job will be a means of help for those individuals and their persons and what they do, I would suggest that you give it to a Muslim. Yes, he will also do a good job. This one is only better than him. Then give it to the Muslim who will do a good job. Give it to a Muslim. He will do a good job too that you can call good. It's only khilaful awla. Then the preference should be for the one who is a Muslim. Why? If you give it to a Muslim, he's going to spend the proceeds upon halal. He's going to spend the proceeds to improve his deen. He's going to spend the proceeds to improve the deen of his family, his wife, his children, and the rest of them. And that is better for us as a people. I hope that the matter is clear, inshallah. Can we have this as the last question today?
Inshallah. So it reads, what does Islam see to consultation with our children when discussing family issues? And also, can someone take up consultation as a service and a means of livelihood, such as working as a business advisor or marriage advisor?
Well, the issues are intertwined, and the questions are three in one. Can we ask children about family affairs? If their intellect is sound enough regarding the matter we want to ask them, and it is something that they can know about. We can ask them within that limit. If the matter is something they can understand, and we know that they will say it as it is, and it is not something that is beyond their mind and their intellect, we can ask the children within the limits of that understanding, our understanding of their intellectual capacity and their ability to be involved in such a matter, depending on the age of the child. So if he is intelligent enough to understand the matter, and then he will be truthful in the matter, and then we can get some sort of an information or a guide or a link or a sort of a guideline from him, from where we can pick up and get more information regarding the matter, yes, we should ask children, we should ask him or her, as the case may be, and work upon it just within the limits of what the intellect of that child can take. We can, inshallah. The second issue is, can we take up consulting itself as a job? Yes, especially if it's, for example, consulting the matters of the dunya. You can be a consultant in building. You can be a consultant in public administration. You can be a consultant in all of these if you have the required knowledge and you're a trustworthy person. Yes, you can consult in these matters. People can come, make you their mustashar, give you their amana, and then you guide them regarding the matter. Likewise, regarding the affairs of the deen. So we consult with the Abu al-Haytham was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam to choose for me, because he found all of those things in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. But the issue is that giving good advice, giving al-nasiha, in giving al-mashura, is a major aspect of the deen. It's not restricted to any particular person. But when a person becomes involved in it, he becomes so used to it, he becomes known for it. A person who usually consults for the people regarding marital affairs, every person can do that. There is no job placement in a hadith that says, take a job. The title of that job is marriage consultant. There is no such thing in the Sharia. But a person can become used to it and he becomes known for it. Then there's no blame in that. He becomes known that Allah has given him good experience about marital issues. He becomes known for that. Then there's no blame in that. If he is truly knowledgeable about it, if he is truly sound, if he is truly a fair person, if he is truly a person who is controlled by the deen, by the limits of the deen and by taqwa in his advice, is well known for that, then he can go on helping the people in these affairs. Now the issue is, can I take money for that? Can a person say, okay, if I advise you, you are going to pay me 10 naira. The issue is that giving an advice itself is from the aspect of the deen. The brother comes, seeks his advice from you. You are making ibadah because you must do it for the sake of Allah, for you to get the rewards from Allah. So it is deen in itself. As an individual, I do not know anything in the Sharia that says charge money for that. Someone wants to marry. He comes to you to seek advice. I found a woman who is like this, who is like this, who is like this. Then he starts saying, before I give you advice, which is deen, which is a duty upon you as a Muslim. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we shall come back to that hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He says, إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ أَخُوكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ أَخُوكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. When your brother seeks sincere advice from you, advise him. It's a command. So you now give a condition. He said, no, I will not give you that advice until you have paid me. It's the same thing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran encourages us, the one who does not know, he says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know.
So you want to ask me about Salah as you're asking me now. And I say, before you ask me that question, before I answer that question, pay me $1,000. How is that? How is that? So this is not something that is lawful in Islam. It's not lawful to precondition duties. You have a duty on this person. Then give him discharge his duty. Unless some other things begin to come up. Maybe because if you must give someone advice, you have to take, you have to fly a plane to a country. You know, some brothers who were asked for advice, and those who asked them for those advice flew them to that country, come, bring you here, so that we can listen to you directly. You flew them to the country, discuss with them, flew them back. So in this case, those who want to bring him can ease the difficulty of his going there. He can provide him the visa. He can provide him the flight ticket. He can provide him a place to stay so that he is able to discharge that religious duty. Otherwise, a duty that a Muslim owes his brother to give him advice when he asks for the advice. Now he asks for the advice and you precondition it. If you don't give me 1,000 naira per hour, then I can't advise you. From which Sharia is this one? So I think that if the giving of the advice does not bring about incurring expenses, for example, as we gave in that illustration, does not involve, okay, a man and his wife are in a trouble, they need someone to talk to. This person is far away, they cannot move and say, okay, can we bring you? Can you come, Sheikh? The Sheikh says, I can come, but I don't have the ability to come. I don't have a car to drive. I don't have fuel in my car, for example. Say, okay, can we ease that so that we can bring you now? But when there is no taklifa involved, when there is no inability from the aspect of the person giving advice, such that because al-kudrat manatu taklif, the basis in the Sharia regarding legal responsibility is ability. So you want his advice, but he's not able to get the advice to you. You can ease his path to get the advice to you. But to say no, you don't have anything stopping you from giving the man advice. Nothing stops you. He just calls you. Sheikh, please, what is this? Can you advise me regarding this? I say, no, sorry, please. I can't advise you regarding this matter until you have paid $500 into my account. This is not from our religion at all. It is like saying, you say taslim to somebody, assalamu alaikum. And then before he replies, wa alaikum salam, he has to pay a fee. It's a religious duty you have. Or someone passes away, you say before you bury him, you have to pay me some fee before I bury him. And you're going to bury him does not incur any expenses that will come beyond your ability. So it's a duty you owe your brother. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam says, when your brother seeks your advice, give him good advice. He says, ad-deenu nasiha. This deen, a major aspect of it is giving good advice. And now you say, no, this advice I will not give you until you pay me. Some people say, yes, I'm a consultant, this is what I'm doing, this is my job. Yes, it's your job. But who asks you to charge the Muslim over that? Because it's a duty also. It's a responsibility you are fulfilling. So you say before you fulfill, it's like the person teaching Islam. He has an opportunity to teach. If he is not coming under any kind of a thing that makes him become unable to teach, then he should teach free without asking the people. اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا. Follow the one who will not ask you for any ajr, who will not ask you for a prize. وهم مهتدون, and he himself is guided. How many times in Surah Hud were the prophet saying that I'm not guiding you upon a prize. So all these things are there for us. It's one thing to say, yes, a person is well known to give good advice regarding particular issues, and then something else in the way that we go about it now, someone opens a shop, his job is the job of a person giving marital advice, and it's receiving pay for that. I think if a person is involved in this kind of a thing, he has a duty to convince the rest of us that it is lawful in the Sharia to charge for fees regarding that. Allahu alam. I think that we can stop here about Amir. Amin, wa iya.
Yes, there was some people having questions concerning this, but I guess, I said people have some questions concerning the last answer you gave.
Yes,
tomorrow, right?
The next class.
Okay, inshallah. Inshallah.
Amin. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.